When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Parents of twins know that they joined a special group when their twins were born. But did you know how special and unique your twins actually are? And while we tend to think that identical twins are completely, well, identical, this is not always the case. Joining us today is our panel of twin parents who are here to talk about fascinating facts about twins. This is Twin Talks, episode 24.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a two for one.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two. Well, welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. Now, have you heard about the Twin Talks Club? Our members get bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. And you can subscribe to our monthly Twin Talks newsletter and learn about the latest episodes available. And another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Twin Talks app, available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. So before we get started, let's go around and introduce our panel.
Good day. My name is Brandy Wallace. I refuse to give my age, and the fact that it may incriminate me. I just had a rather large birthday. It ends in a zero, and that's all I'll say. And I am an attorney by profession. I am not practicing at the moment. I am on hiatus because I am raising our two sets of spontaneous twins. The first set are four-year-old identical boys. The second set are boy-girl fraternals that are 19 months.
You got a busy household.
It's not quiet, I'll tell you that.
And Brenda.
My name is Brenda. I'm coming up on a birthday with a zero in it, but I bet it's not the same one because I'm 49, barely hanging on to that. I'm an accountant by trade. I am very actively working, have been since shortly after my kids were born. Didn't really take any time off other than maternity leave. I have three boys. My oldest is 13, and my twins are identical twins. They're 11.
Okay, and let's see. We've got Shelly over here.
Hi, I'm Shelly Steely. I'm 30. It ends in a zero, but I'm still comfortable in it. I'm a high school history teacher, and I'm also the producer here at Twin Talks. I have identical twin boys who are going to be two in July, and I'm actually expecting my third, just one this time, and it's a girl, so we are excited. Before we get started, though, I just wanted to remind you guys about our virtual panelist program. So if you're at home and you want to follow along, you can find our page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can use the hashtag TwinTalksVP to stay part of the conversation.
All right. And I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald, and I've got girls, identical girls who are 4 and a half, about the same age as Brandy here. And I do another thing in common with Brandy. So we were both pregnant within, I think, like a month of each other on the second. I did not have a second set. So I got a singleton. My singleton is 18 months. But I do remember when Brandy announced that she was pregnant again with twins, and my jaw dropped. I'm like, please God, don't let that happen to me.
Were you already pregnant when I made the announcement? You must have been, because I was more than 4 weeks.
Yes, I think because I was I think I was pregnant at the same time.
But too early to see what was in there.
Yes.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
So here at Twin Talks, we like to keep up with twins in the news. Today's twin news is a little bit gossipy, but we recently found out that Girls Gone Wild founder Joe Francis, his girlfriend is pregnant with twin girls.
Oh my.
Now, Joe Francis and his longtime love are expecting twin daughters. She says she's really excited about it. They both wanted girls who were healthy and free of diseases, so they chose to do IVF. And Mr. Francis says he believes that now people will finally understand his love, respect, and admiration for women. He says, I just love girls.
I love girls. So what is this? I mean, is he going to like start videotaping them while they're young?
What do you think?
I almost have no words, and that's rare.
I have nothing nice to say, so...
I don't know. I mean, it's like it's kind of like what Hugh Hefner, and you know, he has a daughter and brings her in the business. I mean, what is he going to just, you know, bring her in like, oh yeah, this is normal, and here, Girls Gone Wild, and
I think it's interesting though. I mean, with the way technology is now, that somebody who's young and healthy can choose, I mean, gender selection and opt for fertility treatments, just to be on the safe side, I guess. Is that something, I mean, do you guys think we'll be seeing more of this?
Well, you know, I think gender selection in of itself, there's a lot of sort of ethical dilemmas in that. I mean, maybe not so much here in the United States, but then when you look at more developing countries. So I think that when we do use that here, we're setting a precedent, you know, internationally. So, I mean, that bothers me at some level. I mean, it's great that they're saying, hey, we want to have, you know, girls, but in other parts of the country, it's the other way around.
Did they actually do gender selection, or did they were they just hoping for girls?
It specifically says we chose to have girls, according
and
to
he's
Joe
got
Francis.
The finances to do that.
And his partner says we both wanted girls, so yeah, they chose them.
It just almost sounds like they're trying to be, you know, intentionally unconventional. It's like, okay, well, we're not going to get married, and we're going to do IVF.
We're going to have designer children.
We're going to design our children, you know, free of disease. You know, they're going to look like this. It's kind of what, did you guys see the movie Gattaca?
They're going to be little monsters.
Yeah.
You can't design personality.
So the overall feeling is we don't think this absolves him. Nobody thinks, we can't just.
And not to defend Hugh Hefner as a great defender of women. But I think there's a huge difference between the two of them, because those are much older women who are making a much more educated choice. Not that I would personally make the same choice, but I think there's a lot more self-will involved with that. Whereas what Joe Francis does, I think he's such a predator and preys on younger girls who, you know, spur the moment. They're probably out drinking. They're, you know, hanging with the girlfriends. It's a very spur the moment thing, and it's not as much of a lot of thought that goes into it.
That's true.
Maybe let's just hope this actually does give him a respect and love for women.
We can
see some better business practices in the future.
So maybe in the next few years we'll see a change of heart.
Girls Gone only a little bit.
or maybe the next thing will be Girls Gone Wild, and we'll see videos of, you know, like, you know, the house like completely torn up, or
toddlers,
you know,
with diapers on their heads.
Yes. That'll change the meaning.
Now they'll do the Girls Gone Wild, but the twins version of it.
Yeah. I could subscribe to that.
Hide your children.
We do subscribe to that.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, today's topic is fascinating facts about twins, and today we're chatting with our expert twin parent panelists about some fun and quirky facts about twins. So thanks for joining us today. So I think we all know that there are more twins born today than ever before. Some of the statistics say that since 1980, twinning has increased a whopping 76%. In 2009, one of every 30 babies was a twin, compared to 1980, where it was just one in every 53. And so some of the factors are age. Women are waiting a little bit longer until their 30s. And of course, fertility treatments. So, of course, that's a really big one. You know, I thought that there was interesting. There are some other factors that I hadn't heard about. One of them was that tall women are more likely to have twins. I mean, have you guys heard about that?
I actually did. When I found out I was pregnant with the first set of twins, we went online and did some research, as everybody probably turns to the internet. And I read that, I don't know what the source was, but I remember reading that if you were taller than average height, slightly heavier than average weight, I call it fluffy, and at least 35 or over, and I ticked all of those boxes. Those were the three that I remembered reading.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. And I'm 5'9".
So. And you're 5'9". So, yeah, you're a little above average. I think what is a woman, like 5'4", something like that? Yeah, yeah, so definitely. And, yeah, it's apparently, according to this study through the Long Island Jewish Medical Center, they said that there's a protein that's released from the liver in response to a growth hormone that stimulates growth in the shaft of larger bones. And so having higher levels of IGF results in increased sensitivity of the ovaries, thus increasing a woman's chance of ovulating. So,
but that doesn't bear on our identity.
Well, yeah, so that's all applicable to fraternal twins. And I think the size as well, because you've just got more room, you know, probably less likely to be able to carry two.
That's a good point, too. So, I mean, maybe the women who have, let's just say, larger abdomens, right, are able to carry it, and so you see less of the vanishing twin.
Now, I'm just confused because I'm only 5 feet tall, so it doesn't really seem fair over here. I mean, I don't have any room.
I'm only 5 feet tall, the same thing. Yeah. But I think, again, this is all applicable to fraternal twins with multiple ovulation, and there are a lot of things that drive that. Heredity is a big driver of that as well.
So I had heard that the same thing, tall women, but I figured I was safe there. I was a little bit overweight, but fluffy, but not too much. But I had also heard that if you go right off birth control, pregnant right after birth control, it can increase your odds. And also, I heard over 30. And so here I was thinking I'll go off birth control months in advance, and I'm only 28, and I'm not very tall. I should be fine, right? Apparently, that's not the case, so... Short women beware as well.
So you never know. No, there's another thing, another contributing factor, and I've never heard of this either. It says women who eat a lot of dairy are more prone to conceiving twins. That kind of blew me away. I mean, I've heard about sweet potatoes. There was something about
the yams women in the yams. Africa.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, well, I like yams, but dairy. So, yeah, according to this one, there is also, it's kind of the similar thing where they compared twin rates from vegan mothers and non-vegan mothers. And so the ones who consumed dairy were 5 times more likely to have twins. And so this is because cows, like humans, they also produce this IGF in response to growth hormone and release it in their blood. So maybe dairy or vegan. I don't know. Is anyone vegan here?
Nope.
No. Sorry.
Dairy is an important part of my life.
Clearly. Yeah. Brandy, clearly.
Ice cream. I mean, come on.
Cheese for me.
Cheese. Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's another little factoid that's interesting. I mean, speaking of sort of the mothers. So according to these studies, so mothers of twins actually may live longer. I think this is kind of contrary to like what we would think. I mean, my gosh.
I mean, how we feel in this moment.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten a lot more gray hairs since having twins.
And if you can survive having twins, you can survive anything.
We're just sturdier folk, really, as a result of this life experience.
I think you have to be. You really do.
And what's the saying? You know, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
Exactly.
Kind of on the genetic side again, you know, we always think identical twins are identical. We've been told that it's an egg splitting. They have the exact same DNA. But now there's some studies that are saying that identicals really actually aren't identical. Now, for example, we do know that identicals have different belly buttons and fingerprints. So when they said like a belly button is essentially, you know, they're clipping the umbilical cord. And so it's like it's a scar, unique scar. So that's kind of more man-made. But fingerprints. So
yeah,
how does that form?
I looked this up because I have identical twins and I thought it was fascinating. So they have the same original fingerprint, the one that they would have been born with. But what happens is the fluid moving around inside the amniotic sac can kind of move and affect the whorls on your fingerprints. And so because each baby is in a unique place in your amniotic sac, as the fluid moves and pushes, they end up with slightly different fingerprints. So very interesting scientifically, and also good for all of you to tell your children that no, you cannot commit a crime and blame it on your brother.
The DNA samples would come back strikingly similar, though.
Yes. But their fingerprints are different. And dental records are actually different, too. My boys got their teeth in a totally different order at a totally different time. So
I might have mentioned this last time, but my kids lose teeth on the same day.
I've heard that, yeah.
I mean, they're that close. But I bet mine have more different fingerprints because I had twin-twin transfusion. And so one of them, the amniotic fluid level was significantly lower than the other ones. So if that's one of the influencing factors, they might mm-hmm. even be more different. I'll have to check that someday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's actually a really good point, because, I mean, there's definitely in the prenatal environment within, you know, the amniotic sac, they've found that, you know, different syndromes like the twin-to-twin transfusion and TAPS, and I forget what the official name of that is. But, I mean, we've seen births where you have identical twins, and if they're sharing the same amniotic sac, or if there's a very thin sac, maybe one's getting more blood from the placenta and the other one. And so you have these significant birth weights. And so you said to...
Yeah. Well, we had twin-twin transfusion syndrome, and then also the one that was the recipient... who was the smaller one, he also had a velamentous cord insertion, which we didn't discover until after delivery. And thank goodness I had a C-section. But that was another reason that he was always a little bit smaller, because he just wasn't getting as much. And he's, to this day, considerably thinner, has always been thinner than his brother, although he hit his growth spurt first. So he's an inch and a half taller now. But
pretty significant.
If you look at their pictures all the way through, though, his face is smaller. His features are slightly smaller. The other one's just got more, just larger everything. So it definitely had a contributing factor, which leads, you know, goes to the all of the intrauterine influences. They develop differently. They just cook different.
Mm. Yeah, and the womb is an environment, and so the study is showing environmental factors can affect twins. So obviously, if one is more active, you know, and eats healthier over time, you'll have a thinner twin in general. If one smokes and one doesn't, that their faces will reflect that. But the womb is that first environment. So if you have a different, you know, different placenta, different cord insertion, issues that are going on. So yeah, we had velamentous cord insertion. The size difference is marginal, but I mean, Sawyer is just a little bit smaller. He's always been just a touch. And it's almost like...
Yeah, it's like 10%.
Even when they weigh almost the same, you can still see he just looks a little bit...
Just more fine.
I think that would be a good way to describe it. Yeah.
You know, another thing I think was interesting too, since we're not talking about identicals, is the mirror image identicals. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah. Actually, we looked to see if my boys could be mirror image twins, because the whorl on the back of their head is opposite. Mm-hmm. Sawyer will pretty much use his right hand all of the time, but Grayson kind of goes back and forth. I'm pretty sure by now that he's right-handed, but we looked it up, and it turns out that for them to be mirror image twins, the egg had to split very late. And so it's like so late that they were almost... not conjoined, but in the same one. So if the egg splits very late, then they can end up being mirror image twins. Now, mine, because they were diamniotic, dichorionic, split very early. So there's no way that they could be mirror image twins. So if you had two separate sacs, two separate placentas, then they're definitely not going to be. But if the egg split late and they shared one with that membrane, then I see Brandy nodding over here.
We were dimo twins. So diamniotic. Monochorionic sacs, one placenta with the identical boys. And they are 4.5, have still not yet determined which hand will be their dominant hand yet.
Oh, wow.
And one tends to lean to a left-handed and the other tends to lean to right-handed. So there are no birthmarks on them. There are no freckles. There's nothing on them where we can look at them and see if they would be mirror or not. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Here's another fact that says, okay, so fetuses that share a womb and a birthday aren't necessarily twins. Okay. I mean, I read this and I'm thinking, okay, how is this actually possible? A woman can ovulate. And if her hormones are off, she might actually ovulate more than once within a cycle. So she could ovulate and that egg is fertilized. And then maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, within a certain period of time, she can ovulate again, even though technically she's pregnant, and then she gets pregnant a second time. So,
and that could be with a different dad.
And it could be. Yes. Yes. And that's actually
I've heard about that when they do, they can, because with ultrasound technology, the way it is, they can do those early ultrasounds. And when the conditions haven't affected it so far. And in that situation, what you would see on the ultrasound is you would see twins with a gestational age 2 to 3 weeks apart. And we all know before 12 weeks, those are fairly accurate. I mean, size differences haven't been accounted for. It's not very common. I don't think anybody should be too concerned about it. But yeah, it's funny the things that the body can do. Basically, it doesn't realize it's pregnant yet and ovulates and
creates
another twin.
And I guess what happens is in that case is that, I mean, I think in most cases, they're born at the same time. But I guess there have been cases where one is born and somehow the uterus closes up again and then the other one is born later. I'm like, how can you imagine going into labor? You've got two babies inside. I mean, which to me, by definition, I think is two babies is twins, but okay. And then you go into labor, you give birth, and then everything closes back up. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to do this next month.
On the one side, it might have been kind of nice to have just one baby for that first month.
But you're still 9 months pregnant.
So that's the downside. Yeah. God, the body is amazing, isn't it?
So this thing where you can have the two babies, it's called, super fecundation. I'm totally butchering it. I realize that. And then what Shelley had mentioned, that you can have twins with different fathers, and that's called heteropaternal superfecundation. And there are known cases. And the only reason that they found out is because when the twins came out, one was black and one was white. And they said, well, wait a minute, you know, how is this possible? And this was recently, I think earlier this year.
There's been a couple cases.
Yes. Today, and yeah. So I think in that case, so a woman, I think she had ovulated at the same time. And so there were multiple eggs, and then she...
Multiple partners.
But
multiple
remember, partners, yeah. Sperm can live for up to 5 days. So, I mean, it's not as unlikely as one... You know, it's not like it had to be the same minute. I mean, you've got almost a week there.
Right. So...
It's a lifestyle choice.
It's a lifestyle choice. Yes. Yes. So she ended up... Yeah, so there were two different fathers. And so they're... I don't know. You got to wonder, wow. what are the child visitation and paternal rights? You
know? I don't even know if that kind of custody would work out, too. That's a
I think instead of saving for college, saving for therapy.
Yes. Yes. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how twins, how they interact with each other in the womb and they get a head start on socialization.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, welcome back. Today we're talking with our expert panelists about some truly unusual facts about twins. We've been talking about some genetic variations that we don't expect. But what about sort of the social interaction? I mean, when you've got two babies in the womb, they're actually interacting with each other. And what effect does that have on them later on? And it's interesting. There was a study in Italy, and the researchers, they looked at some 3D ultrasound videos. And they found that when the babies were just 14 weeks old, they noticed that the pairs, they were reaching out for each other and they were touching their head-to-head and arm-to-head. And then at 18 weeks, they were stroking each other more often and they're in physical contact about like 30% of the time. And I mean, that seems really amazing to me that they have this awareness and what we might think, you know, fondness for each other. Or I don't know, or are they just saying, you know, are they, hey, move out of the way?
Well, I actually have a story about the inside the womb interaction. Around the 20-week mark, we had the growth check ultrasound. It's an hour per baby where they measure every portion of their bodies. And at the end of the ultrasound, I asked, and this is with my first set of twins, the identical boys, I asked the sonographer if she would please just hold the device still on my belly so that we could just sort of watch them, because as they're moving the device around, you'd think the baby is moving, but really it's the fluid moving and they're coming in and out of focus. And so I said, I just want to hold it still for a moment. And I'm so glad I did, because we actually got to see them. They were facing each other, and in exact unison at the exact same time, they began punching each other.
Oh my gosh!
And it looked like a game of Rock'em Sock'em Robots from the 80s, you know, the little game. Yeah. And because as one's right hand went forward, the twins' brother's left hand went backwards. So they weren't punching each other, but it was like this little choreographed dance they were doing. And if there weren't other people in the room, I would have swore that I made it up and it didn't actually happen, but it really did happen.
But yeah, I have to say, I think that that closeness does create this sort of just mental, you know, consciousness, I guess, of twins. Because I mean, of being together. And I mean, I see my girls interacting, and you know, you hear about, it's like, oh, do they understand each other? Do they read each other's mind? I actually had a lady ask me, do they read each other's mind? I'm like, well, why don't you ask them? But I think they do have this sort of anticipatory, you know, attitude where they can sense what the other one wants. And maybe it is that from that close proximity.
And I think that kind of touches on, you know, the twins having their own secret language, or tent twins being kind of language delayed. I mean, they're so in tune with each other. They kind of are able to know and anticipate, and there's not really a huge motivation for them to talk to other people when they already know what the other person wants, if you will. I mean, I wouldn't call it mind reading, but I think, you know, just like you and your best friend can finish each other's sentences. I mean, imagine that just magnified, you know, their awareness of each other is so high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost an intuition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, exactly. And now, speaking of language, we have heard about twin language, and according to studies that 40% of twins invent their own language.
Mine certainly has. They talk to each other, but I'm not really sure what they're saying.
Yeah, it's very common where they're mirroring each other, and they're anticipating. They're just using sort of this, you know, their own symbols or their own expressions, and they understand that. And I mean, I'm like, 40%? That seems
a little high.
But yeah, it says that they said the researchers suspect that twin babies use each other as models in developing language when an adult model language is frequently absent, and it consists of inverted words, excuse me, and onomatopoeic.
Yeah.
Thank you. I got the teachers in the room. They got expressions. And so they're formed when two very close babies are learning how to speak a real language alongside each other, and they play. So, but it says that that languages often disappear soon after childhood once they learn a real language. So I was curious now, how about you guys? Did yours?
Mine were speech delayed. So I think they just never had the opportunity to develop their own language, because it took them so long to develop any language that it just went into regular speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it with either set of ours.
No, so maybe that's a good thing.
I promise I'm talking to them plenty. No, they just, it sounds like words, but I have no idea what it is that they're asking for, but they seem to understand each other. Another thing is that they both think they have the same name. So they're both named Sawyer, and they will call each other Sawyer. And it sounds different, kind of, like they're very certain when they're talking about themselves and versus their brother, but it's very confusing, let me tell you.
Sawyer. So you Sawyer, and they both raise their hand.
Yeah.
Like, no, you do have a separate name.
Like, Grayson will sit there and say, Mama's milk, Dada's juice, Sawyer's milk, Sawyer's milk. Like, to himself and his brother, like, as though it was just totally normal, as though we named them the same thing.
Thanks so much to everyone for joining us today. And for more information about Fantastic Facts About Twins, or for more information about any of our speakers and panelists, you can visit our episode page on our website. Now, this conversation continues for members of our Twin Talks Club. And so after the show, our panelists are going to talk about how twins can be born in separate years. So for more information about the Twin Talks Club, visit our website, twintalks.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey everyone, this is Sunny. I am one of the producers here on Twin Talks, and we have a funny twin oops to share with you guys. This is a segment that we'd like to do where our listeners send in funny comments, parenting situations they've been in with their twins, and funny things that have happened. And so this one comes from Lindsay, and Lindsay says, we have three boys, age 4 and under. When our twin boys were about 2 years old and our older son was 3.5, we were bathing them all together, just as we've been doing for the past year. One night, I turned around to pick up a bath toy, and when I turned back around, I found that one of my sons had noticed his brother's private parts. So in an effort to exert a strong statement about privacy in our own bodies, I uttered a statement I never thought I'd say. Keep your hands to your own penis! My husband and mom, both within earshot, erupted in laughter and have never let me live this one down. Oh, Lindsay, the things we say when we're a parent, right? Well, thank you so much for sending this in. If you guys have a comment about your twins, a funny parenting story you want to share, a twin oops, as we like to call it, you can call our voicemail, which is 619-866-4775. You can also send us an email or even just post a comment on our Facebook page.
So that wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, and Parent Savers, your parenting resource on the go. Next week, we're going to be talking about Inside the NICU, bonding with your babies. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.